So welcome to the long table. Gin and tonic with me is my compatriot Forth. Welcome aboard, buddy.
It's good to be here. And there was there was a long pause before you kind of described me. Kind of had me worried for it.
I was thinking about what I could say and what I should say. You know what? I actually do want to say one thing. It was something I actually wanted to open with. So we all have our draft darlings, guys that we really like. And obviously you were big on Baker. But there was another guy that you were big on. And in this draft, where a lot of guys were very critical of him and didn't think he was going to be that good. And he was a guy that I wasn't crazy about. Certainly not at four, but that's a guy. That guy actually made first team All Pro as a rookie, and I want to just give you a big props for your call on Derwin James. That was a pretty solid pick right there.
Oh, thanks. We can now put all my Kaiser takes to rest.
Well, I mean, they're certainly not going to go to rest. You're still going to get some for that, but you'll get some props for. Hey, listen, credit where it's due, man. I like to break balls, but at the same point, credit where it's due. That was a solid pick. He's a guy who's actually going to be playing this weekend, tomorrow, the 105 game, Chargers and the Ravens. So we'll be rooting for him. Chargers. So I guess, by the way, we are on Dogs by Nature. I thought I should get that in there. And, this is actually Wild Card Weekend. There's four games this weekend. We'll probably talk a little bit about all of them. We got the Colts Texans coming up today at 4:30, Seahawks and Cowboys tonight. Obviously that's a big primetime game. They want to get those Cowboys in on Saturday night. Ravens Chargers 105 tomorrow. And then to close out Wild Card Weekend, Eagles and Bears. So four pretty solid games. First, you know, this is going to be we got a bunch of teams that weren't in the playoffs last year, all playing in the next, except for the Eagles. I think the Bears weren't in the playoffs last year. The Cowboys were in. I don't remember. You got the Seahawks back after an absence. The Colts and the Texans both back in. No, neither team made the playoffs last year. And then Ravens and the Chargers. Colts are an interesting team. Started off 1-5, went on that really big run, which I think was bookended by losses to the Colts, to the Texans, rather. I'm not sure. I think I read that somewhere. But pretty interesting matchup. Very solid offensive line against a very solid defensive line. The resurgence of Andrew Luck, who's going to be the comeback player of the year, most likely. And Deshaun Watson, who another guy that I will say I was wrong on. I didn't think he had the arm strength to play in the NFL, but he has got that it factor, similar to Baker. You know, he's just a winner. Guy goes out and plays. So that first game today should be pretty exciting. And the second game, anytime you get to see the Cowboys in the playoffs, hopefully lose in the playoffs, it's exciting because Cowboy fans are pretty obnoxious. And I know you're not, you usually don't really get into anything else but the Browns, but I think a little bit of playoff football will be interesting to talk about today. Obviously, I'll take it as the Ravens losing is probably the only thing you really care about this weekend, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we are all Chargers fans on this weekend, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, Rivers is another guy. I kind of like Rivers. I kind of want to see him I feel bad. He's in that draft class with the other two guys that both have won two Super Bowls. And ironically, I think Rivers is probably maybe the best player out of all three of them. He's just never put it together at the right time. He's had some total disappearance games that's been on him. I won't say it hasn't. But he's also been on some teams that have had some crazy injuries. He's had some bad coaching. There's been obviously a lot of issues. This is a pretty solid. That Chargers team is very solid and probably would have been in potential for, you know, the division anywhere else except for the AFC West. So that'll be an interesting game on Sunday. I guess we could talk a little bit about our coaching search. What do you think? We could do that.
Well, I mean, hopefully, if you've mentioned the courts, maybe the Mike, what's his face,
Josh McDaniels.
Maybe he can do us a solid and kind of leave us hanging at the last minute, so we can get someone like Frank Reich.
Yeah, I mean, that's a very, very solid point. We'll come back to that whole coaching discussion. I guess I don't really want to talk directly.
Because, you know, there's an article on, I think, Bleacher Report, which I have to admit, it seems like it's getting better in terms of content. But anyway, there's a long-form article about McDaniels and all the things that he learned from being with the Broncos as a head coach, and from being away with the Rams before returning to New England. And if he didn't pull that shit that he did with the Colts, then the article would have changed my opinion on him. But since he pulled that shit fairly recently, you know, that's not something that a man with honor does and leave. You know, as far as I know, he was basically in, and then at the very, very, very last second, he just bailed on the team and the people they hired and whatever.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it put a lot of people in bad spots, because a lot of assistants signed on to be coaches on that staff. And then, you know, now you got guys that are signed on to be assistants where the coach that hired them didn't sign on. So now it was really a cluster of just total mess. And I'll be honest, you know, part of me wants to think, oh, well, let's think, you know, conspiracy theory here, and maybe Belichick put him up to it so that they would be totally the Colts would be in a position where they would be totally screwed, and they had lost out on a couple of the prime coaching candidates at that point. I don't know. I mean,
it was a blessing in disguise. I have a friend who wanted to be.
You have a friend?
Well, you know. It honestly, now that you mention it, it's not even a friend. It's just someone that I know who wanted to be an English major.
That's more fitting.
And they didn't take him, so he became a really good programmer instead. Now he's making bank and doing something he enjoys instead of being like a McDonald's employee.
Yeah, sure.
You know, so I mean, he was really pissed.
That was McDonald's, but for anybody who doesn't speak fourth. Go
ahead. Yeah, sorry. It's
that's okay.
The accent is, you know, I mean, yeah, it's sexy, but doesn't make things easier to understand. Anyway, so he was really pissed, and it was a blessing in disguise that, you know, he wasn't, you know, here you have to do this entrance exam, you get points, and you know it can be difficult to get in to weird places like English major. So anyway, it should have been easier because I got in, right? So
yeah,
I don't know how he didn't get in. Being an English major, which here is different than in the United States, so it's not about literature, right?
No, it's about the language, right?
Yeah. So, you know. Anyway, back to the Colts. They, I think they got the right dude.
Absolutely. Yeah, and they got the guy that they got the right guy.
And he was fortunate to have his assistants. And both of them are now highly sought after. So I think from his perspective, if they stay, that's great. If they leave, that's also great because he can have his own thing.
Yep.
So it's just perfect. But if I was him, I would love to have both of them back.
Yeah, sure.
Because, you know, they did a great job. And Luck has been doing great. And, you know, I'm rooting for the Colts, even though I'm still pissed about what they did to us. It's just, I can't hate Andrew Luck because he's just, I don't know, he's like a neckbeard's head on a jock's body, and it's perfect.
Yeah, I mean, he is one of the weird, like, you know, we have Miles, and Miles is very unique. You know, he's got that little nerdy persona, and but Luck is kind of the same thing, except as a quarterback, you know, and you know, he's tough as nails. You know, I obviously missed the whole over a year with that shoulder injury, and you know, we kind of thought he would never play. You know, guys have thought he never would play again, and I mean, he came out and he threw the ball more than anybody this year, I believe. And they finally came out and they addressed their offensive line and they protected him really well. And, you know, it's a team that, you know, I don't really typically root for AFC teams, but I kind of want to see the Colts. And I hate the Colts, but I kind of want to see Luck do well because, you know, A, I like him. And I think he's, it was obviously the guy that, you know, we all wanted on the team back in the day. And, and I you know, at the same point, I want to see them do good because I feel like they got screwed last year with the Josh McDaniels situation. And, you know, we'll talk more about him, I guess, once we talked about him a little bit already, but we'll talk more about him when we get to coaching stuff. But, you know, I kind of feel like they got screwed last year, or were at least, you know, I think maybe that there was an attempt to screw them over and it backfired big time. It'll be interesting to see if the Colts and the Patriots end up playing each other. You know, that storyline play itself out. It'll be, you know, very interesting.
You know, I guess, and back to the Colts for a second. I think their GM is called Ballard or something like that, and he made some really, really good draft choices. So I think.
Yeah, Chris Ballard. And you're right. This was a phenomenal draft for them. I mean, you know, the move back to the trade with the Jets, they added three second rounders. Ended up picking Leonard, who was as a rookie first team all pro. They drafted Quentin Nelson, who I think was either first or second team all pro. You know, in the first year, I mean, you draft two guys like that in the first two rounds, as well as they draft, I believe they addressed right tackle and got a good starter out of in second round there. I mean, that, again, just a solid draft. I mean, it's similar to ours in the sense that Ballard's probably going to be executive of the year. But, you know, we all know that Dorsey deserves to be in that conversation as well. So both teams drafted really well, and you could see the drastic difference in their teams. The Colts, I think, were picking third, so they had the third worst record in the league last year. You know, we had the worst record in the league last year. So, you know, two teams that were way down the spectrum, and the Colts managed to get themselves into the playoffs this year.
We changed the divisions, and it's a completely different story.
Well, if we're in the South, I think. Were you know, I mean, it's tough to say that though.
I'm not saying we waltz in, but I think we're in the playoffs.
If we're in the South?
Yeah. I think we're in the playoffs if we're in the South.
Well,
it's different in the North because it's just
I think
it's tougher. Even in the down year. Even when the Browns have been shit for like two decades. Even when we went to their house, these games were not always gimme games. I mean, sometimes we've gotten our ass kicked, but a lot of the times these things were really close. And I know we've lost a lot of them, but I'm just saying it's. Much more of a cakewalk down south. than here.
Yeah,
despite,
I mean,
despite the Browns being so shit for so long.
Yeah, I guess I could see that. I think looking forward, in comparison, you're right. Maybe if we play in the South and we play but you got three teams that were solid in the South. You know, the Titans were right there for the playoffs. I think the divisions are comparable this last year. And you know, neither one, I guess the Texans were probably the best of the, you know, they had the best record of all the teams, you know, between the two divisions, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they were better than the Ravens or the Steelers. It's just that you're right. You know what? I think you're right. Maybe if we're in the South, we might get ourselves in the playoffs. I think the teams down there. Go ahead.
Just one more thing. I think if we win this last game and we are in, and no, wait, we aren't in. But if we were in the playoffs somehow, then I mean, it was relatively close, I'd say, because I know that a lot of shit had to go our way, but we could have won the division and gotten in, and it was, I would say, fairly close. I think maybe I remember this wrong, but I think the us winning the division scenario, which was the likeliest, I guess, hung on two games, and both games went against us.
Well, actually, it was like we needed both Pittsburgh and Baltimore to lose in week 16. No, I'm sorry. We needed Baltimore to lose one of their last three, one additional game of their last three, plus we had to win out. Of the last three games, we needed Pittsburgh to lose out all three. They lost two of the three, right?
Oh, then I misremembered. Okay. Yeah.
I think basically what happened is we were eliminated by week 16. We didn't have a chance because of
Okay. Then ignore what I was about to say. I wanted to say that if we have gotten
in, we would have been a dangerous team.
And then Dorsey is clearly the
executive of the year. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's no
question.
Arguing.
You go from zero wins to playoffs. I agree. Yeah. Yep.
It didn't go that way, but I don't know. It felt like after we got rid of cancer, it felt like we could hang with anybody, even though we got two bigger losses, one against the Chargers and one against the Chiefs. But those, I don't know. It still felt like we aren't a joke even against them.
Yeah, I agree with you. I definitely agree with you.
One more thing about this Colts-Texans game. I hate the Texans, I have to admit. I don't know why. Maybe it's because I hate J.J. Watt. And maybe because I hate that I was wrong about Watson. I didn't think that he was going to amount to anything.
Yeah, I mean, I was... adamantly in that don't want Deshaun Watson. I really didn't think he had the arm for the NFL. Like, and it had nothing to do with that zero. You know, like that.
Remember the preseason when, especially the third game when Kaiser looked good against the Saints.
Yeah,
and Watson looked absolutely lost against. I don't even know who they were playing. Maybe it was the Lions. I'm not sure. Anyway, he didn't look good in that game, and I thought, you know, maybe we may have something going here, and then it went completely the other way. I've been pissed about that ever since. Anyway,
it's okay, man. You can be mad.
It worked out in the end, but
You're right.
I prefer it this way. when I think about it. I like Baker much better than... I mean, I love the guy.
I know you do. I know you do. All right, so listen, we're going to take a little break, and when we get back, we'll... I guess we could talk... I don't know. We'll figure something out. All right, we'll be back. We'll be right back. All right, so we're back. Wild card weekend. We talked about a couple of the games. I guess I think really, you know, the focus here is the Browns, and I think it always should be. So, you know, right now, I guess the biggest issue with us probably, well, we have the two issues, the draft, which is probably secondary right now, to the head coaching search. And, you know, we've interviewed a few candidates already so far. Both Freddie and Greg got their interviews, I think, on Tuesday.
No, Freddie is next week.
Freddie's next week, is he?
Yeah.
I thought he was going to be later this week. All right.
It was Greg Caldwell,
Dan Campbell.
Yes, and Sartoris, or what's his name? The guy who was the OC at Minnesota.
Yes, yeah. Which is such a weird situation in itself, because, you know, we all thought Flip would be the guy that would get the, you know, and Flip gets fired, and now a guy who was the OC for three games is getting head coaching interviews. It's very weird. That's a weird situation in itself. But so I guess my question to you is, who do you want to see be hired as the next head coach of the Cleveland Browns?
Freddie Kitchens.
Would you have thought maybe like 5 weeks ago that would be where you were? Did you?
No, I had no idea where we're gonna go. I preferred Bieniemy, or what's his
Eric
name?
Bieniemy? Really?
The KC Bieniemy. OC.
Okay. Was that just a simple because Andy Reid is Andy Reid kind of thing?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, he is the OC, but you know, Reid likes to call plays. Whatever, he's still the OC. He has been there. He has been with him. He has been, I think he was running backs coach and assistant head coach too, I think, at some point. And it's not like he has been with Andy for like a year or something.
Yeah, no, he's been there for a while. Now he's another one, long time NFL player. I think he's getting an interview with the Jets this week. Yeah. So I mean, there's a good chance he's going to end up with the job.
I trust Dorsey with his coaching search. It's just that the names so far have been very underwhelming. I mean, Greg, I think, deserved an interview. And I think it was appropriate to have him interview first. I think that was absolutely appropriate. Then Jim Caldwell, waste of time. That's a waste of time right there. Then you have someone who was the interim head coach of the Dolphins and did good. And he was also, or he has been, tight end coach for the Saints while being an assistant head coach.
Yeah.
And I would say that's also impressive because he did good as an interim head coach in Miami. And that I don't think that was easy to kind of do a sort of a Greg-ish turnaround. I don't think that was an easy job to do. And, you know, being with, I forget the Saints head coach's name, Peyton.
Sean Payton.
Being with Peyton for I don't know how long, a couple of years, that's that's not a bad thing. And it's not like their tight ends have been slouches all this time. So he is more impressive than, I would say, Caldwell. I'm not going to say Greg because I'm fairly... It's as if Greg had changed the moment he became a head coach.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he ever thought he was going to get the opportunity to do it again. You know, I kind of think that he thought that you know, his that was never going to happen again. But, you know...
Maybe he just, you know, kind of... Maybe he was in a weird but very beneficial headspace. Like, I'm not going to be here for very long. I'm trying to be the best for the players that I can be, and I'm going to be a calming influence. Maybe he thought that, but the way that I feel is that he was just that, this calming influence, sort of back to normalcy after the bullshit that's been here, back to competing, back to having fun. And that worked out. I don't know if he is going to maintain that going forward, if he is the head coach again.
Kept on as the head coach, yeah.
Which I don't think is going to happen.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to happen either. I will say, go ahead. You can finish up your point.
So we have a few more names that, you know, McDaniels wants the job. I don't know if we are going to interview him or not. There's McCarthy. I don't want either of these guys.
No, me either.
Next week, as far as I know, early next week, I don't know exactly when, but Freddie is going to interview, which I think he deserves. And it's just, I think we are going to interview one of the Colts coaches. Am I wrong? There have been so many names.
Yeah, I mean, we interviewed 8 or 9 people. I mean, I really don't.
Yeah, I don't think Dorsey is going to be done by the end of next week, which is, I don't know. It's I'm glad that he's thorough, but.
Well, look, here's the thing is, it's probably, you know, I heard, you know, a couple guys get on and say that the Green Bay job is the most desirable job in the NFL right now of all the open jobs. I think there's 8. So it's 25% of the teams that are looking for new coaches. But I don't think that that's the case at all. I mean, you know, everyone's like, well, Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers is not in his prime. He's, you know, I'm not saying he's still not great.
36
he's still great.
Or so.
35, I think. But he's on his way down, or he's at the plateau. He's not getting any better. It's a team, you know, there's some positives there. You know, you don't have an owner to work for. It's a little bit different system. You know, your GM is going to be patient with you. Obviously, you wouldn't be coming to a situation where Jimmy Haslam's your owner. So, I mean, there's some positives there. But at the same point, you look at our roster with a young quarterback who has already proven he can play, and all that salary cap money, and, you know, the fan base that is rabid. You know, everyone's like, oh, the Green Bay fans are great. The Browns fans are great, too. Well, yeah, let's not kid ourselves here. There's
11 weeks out of 17, we won the Rookie of the Year. I mean, Rookie of the Year is gonna come home too, because I didn't know that Rookie of the Year is up for a similar vote. So since it's up for a vote, it's coming home too. Plus, we just merged with the Sooner Nation. Thanks to Baker, yeah. Which is I have to admit, it's sort of a welcome addition, even to the forums. The guys that came on from that fan group having really cool. So we needed some fresh blood in there.
Yeah, I mean, I have been marred by absence the last couple of weeks. I think I have maybe 2 posts in the last 2.5 weeks. I've been a little bit busy, but, you know, I will, I haven't seen any of that stuff, but you know, I'm sure that the Sooner guys are all big Baker guys. They all love him, and rightfully so. And you know, he was as, you know, good for them as he's been for us so far. And you know, I mean, it's awesome.
But anyway, you were absolutely right. We are the best job out there.
Yeah, I don't even think it's. I honestly don't even think it's close. Now, I mean, I've heard other guys get up and say, you know, the Browns is definitely the best job. Pete Traeger has been saying it for probably 7 weeks now that he thought that this was the best job available, or would be the best job available, even after McCarthy got fired. You know, so you know, we've had real good, smart media guys come out and say that as well. So it's one of those things. I guess it's your take. Short term and long term, I think there are two drawbacks to this head coaching search, or you know, guys that potentially would take this job, and the first being the clear, obvious Jimmy Haslam elephant in the room. You know, he did give you Jackson a third year after two horrific, you know, a one win season, one win in 2 years. And he gave him almost a third, you know, he almost gave him a half a third year. He probably would have finished the season out had it not gotten so ugly between you and Haley. And maybe we should thank Todd for that too, because, you know, imagine if we would have had to put Baker through a full year of, you know.
I don't even want to entertain the thought.
Anyway, so that's the first thing is Jimmy Haslam. You know, he's got that notoriously quick trigger. Although this last time around, for some reason or another, he was the guy that got the third year. The other thing is the expectation level for next year is going to be, I think, sky high.
I mean, if we don't get into the playoffs, at least it's a failure of a season.
Yeah, see, now it's tough to say that because obviously this year's not even over yet. We don't know what other teams are going to do. We don't know.
That's true.
We don't know who we're drafting. We don't know who our head coach is. So here you are saying something like that. And, you know, we don't, you know, what if somebody gets hurt in preseason? What if, you know, God forbid? So, I mean, it's tough. But that's the level of expectations already. You know what I'm saying? And we haven't even, you know, we haven't even drafted, you know, we haven't even signed a coach. We haven't made one draft pick. We haven't done any OTAs. We haven't played a preseason snap, you know, like, so there's, you know, there's a lot that has to happen before we could even get to that point.
Yeah. I mean, it's 8 months before we get to some meaningful football again.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't care about the playoffs. The only thing that I care about is
okay, I get you.
Ravens should lose, Patriots should lose, anything else is, I don't care.
Yeah, I mean, so I guess I'm back, you know,
what's your opinion about
that's where
about...
I was gonna get to. So here's the thing is, you know, for a while I was, you know, I guess I was on the, you know, keep Greg as long as we get to keep Freddie thing. But I kind of think that if we don't, you know, because I thought that was the way that it would work. You know, if we sign Greg, finished 5-3, man, and we played well in almost every game. You know, we could have won. We should have, you know, could have gone 6-2. We played decent against the Chiefs. The really only game that we got absolutely manhandled was the Pittsburgh game, right? Oh no, that was you. That was you, Jackson. Still,
Texans. The Texans game. That's the one I completely forgot about.
So I mean, overall, you know, it's tough to say if the guy would have gone 6-2. How do you not keep him? But you know, here's the thing: is from what I'm hearing, you know, from the, you know, I actually heard an interview. I know I say his name a lot, but he's one of the guys I really do respect. Pete Traeger was on Mike Francesa the other day, who is a sportscaster in New York, kind of a legendary guy here. They call him the Pope. And he has a radio show, and Traeger's on one day a week. And I just happened to be listening to the game, happened to be listening, and Traeger got on and he was the one that he came on and said that, you know, I think the Browns job is the most, you know, the most interesting and exciting job and probably the most desirable job out there. And he said don't count Freddie Kitchens out. He kind of thinks that that's where the direction they're going to go. And again, you know, the reason being is that Baker loves him. And, you know, but then do you want to hire the guy that Baker loves? Baker already controls that locker room. It's his locker room. It's his team. You know, I'm sure there's other guys out there that, you know, guys like Kirksey, who were, you know, Betonio, who were, you know, captains and leaders on that team, but they don't have
it's Baker's team.
It is. You're right. And do you want to give a first year quarterback, a guy who played 1 year in the NFL, choice, basically his choice as head coach? So, I mean, I get it's tough, but I like what Freddie did with Baker. I mean, obviously it worked. Here's an interesting dilemma. One of the coaches that I absolutely love and respect the hell out of, specifically after the last couple of years, is Anthony Lynn. And I don't know if he's a great head coach, but I'll tell you what he's really good at. He's a leader of men. He's a guy that guys want to play for. He makes really good decisions in the game, but really what he is he's a guy that guys want to play for. And not only do they want to play for him, but they respect him. You know, I mean, he's got Philip Rivers' respect, and I'm sure that's not something easy to do. And I would say that Dan Campbell's the kind of guy that reminds me of that. You know, like, he's a guy that I think guys want to play for. You know, he could be a leader of men. Now, does that make him a great head coach? I don't know if it necessarily does, but if he gets himself good assistants, maybe he keeps Freddie. You know, I think certain coaches that anybody that they interview, certain guys, probably Caldwell, probably Campbell. I would think not McDaniels, but definitely anybody, you know, under that level. And Caldwell, I mean, I say under that level, is a guy who won 15-1 one year. But let's be honest, he's not getting a job anywhere as a head coach without some caveats, because I don't think he's a good coach. He just kind of fell into a great situation with the Colts after Dungy retired. But I would think that if Campbell was hired on as a coach, if this Minnesota assistant offensive coordinator was hired on as a coach, if Caldwell was hired on as a coach, they would all be with the caveat that Freddie Kitchens is staying. And I would have a problem with that. You know,
Me neither.
I don't, you know, normally head coaches want to come in with their guy, but I think if we get a head coach that's, you know, not a specific offensive guy who runs a specific system, like, I mean, Caldwell's an offensive guy, Campbell's an offensive guy, but they're not, you know, I think they've done different things in different spots. But if you get, if you were to bring in McDaniels, let's say, he's going to want to run his system. He's going to want to be the offensive coordinator. He's going to want to bring in his guy, you know. So I think it's a little different. It's tough to tell him that he's got to keep Freddie Kitchens, but I think he can tell everyone else that they have to. What do you think?
Well, I think one of the things that I'm not even sure that it bothers me, it's just something that I find interesting. It's a lot of the coaches that we are interviewing have similar experience level as Kitchens does. Like, a lot of these guys have 1 year under their belt as coordinators and as other assistants before that. Freddie has fewer games, of course, because it took some time before we fired the assholes, but sort of similar experience level, you know. And a lot of people count Freddie out because, you know, he has, I think it was Rudy who said that at the beginning, that he didn't have enough experience. I don't know. And, you know, these other guys that we are bringing in my mind, have a similar experience. I mean, a few more games as coordinators, you know, similar age. So that's why I think it's plus, you know, we have all these past coaches who were not head coaches before they were head coaches. You know, I mean, you have to. It's sort of like requiring 5 years of experience for an entry level job. You know that sort of bullshit when you start looking for jobs is right after university, and you know there's this catch 22 kind of situation where
you need experience. Yep.
Yeah, and I think it's sort of like that. You do not want someone who was a head coach before, like Caldwell, because he is a failed coach in my mind. He didn't do anything. Nothing.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. I think that one of the things that I'm with you. I don't want to hire a guy like that. I don't want to hire McDaniels. I would rather hire Freddie. But do we take the same route that the Bucks took? You know, they kept Dirk around because he had a good chemistry with Jameis, and look where they are now. You know, like, you know, there's a guy that probably wasn't ready to coach.
And yeah, that's
a result,
true. That's,
you know,
true.
It's not that different a situation, you know, like, so I don't, you know, it's one of those things that,
yeah, but you know, that's why I like the process that Dorsey goes through.
I agree. And I think that specific situation might be playing a part in this, is that he wants to keep Freddie around, but at the same point, he doesn't feel like he should, you know, it's safe to give the guy the head coaching job.
Yeah, so you have to be thorough.
Yeah, I mean, so maybe Arians, you know, I don't know if we have any inclination to interview him, because I haven't heard anything, but I know he wanted to come here.
By the way, the Browns PR or whatever guys do a really great job that sort of confirming that we have interviewed someone. Really love that. That there's no media silence and just rumors flying around. You know?
Yeah.
Browns confirm it as soon as the interview's over. Well, you know, relatively speaking. So that's, I just wanted to give kudos for that, because that's great.
So Freddie Kitchens is your guy. I agree. I would like to keep him in some role. If it's head coach, great. If it's offensive coordinator, that's awesome too.
I mean, if we get into a situation where Freddie stays as an OC, then I'm not complaining. But I would prefer him to be the head coach.
Yeah,
because I think that he maybe it's because he was a starting quarterback at Alabama, and when you are. Even though I think in those years they weren't as great as they were today.
No.
But
not.
I think it was started for like 3 years or so, maybe four. And that's one of the programs that even down years, there's a certain air about it. You know, you are going to get at least these... In that geographical area, the prospects that grew up, fans, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So to be a leader in that kind of environment, I think that teaches you something, especially when you do it for years. And the stories that we have been getting out of Browns about how Freddie has been conducting himself when he became a coordinator... That's I really liked it. You know, going to the players, going to the meeting room with the offensive linemen, asking them what they like. You know, going to the players, asking what. I think I only heard the offensive linemen one, but I'm pretty sure that he did this with everyone, with the running backs, what they like, with the. Receivers and so on, and he has a really great relationship seemingly with Baker. He did some great things digging out the flex bone plays, some wing T concepts from the bottom of that 700 page playbook. He had the same thing that Haley and Hugh had, and he made something awesome out of it.
Yeah, yeah.
And that has to amount to something in my mind. But then again, as you said, it doesn't always work out. So that's why I like that he's getting his day, as far as I know, next week. I think it's either Monday or Tuesday. I think it's Tuesday that he's getting an interview. I'm not sure. I'm not sure because McCarthy is next week too. And then I think they are going to get the defensive coordinator of the Colts, maybe. Who else? Do you have any names?
I'm not sure. I'd have to look, man. I know we were scheduled to talk to a lot of guys, but for the most part, it's the names that we've talked about. Those are the ones that I, you know.
One of the names that we have heard so far, the Iowa State head coach,
Dave Campbell, right?
Yeah, I don't think he's leaving.
No, he's already turned down a couple teams for interviews. Yeah. So I don't think, I don't think he's going to turn a couple teams down and then interview for somebody else. It's just, that wouldn't make any sense.
Yeah, I mean, Riley is not...
Not interviewing, nope.
Yeah. What else? I mean, someone I would really like to get a look at is Mississippi State's defensive coordinator, because what he's done is awesome. It's just such a disciplined, fantastic defense that he managed to put together.
Yep.
In that conference, I mean, I just love it. What he's been doing, I really would. You know, most people prefer an offensive mind coach, and that's fine with me. But again, the Bears, the Ravens, these great defenses are there, and I think that they are gonna be there at the end. Sadly, I mean, I don't mind the Bears, but the Ravens.
Yeah, well, I'm with you. Same boat. Anyways, listen, let's take a quick break, and we'll wrap everything up. We'll talk, I guess, predictions for the playoffs, and then or we can just pick our winners and losers, and we'll go from there, and wrap up some Brown stuff. So we'll be right back on the other side. Okay, so to wrap up this episode of The Long Table, I guess we should talk about our predictions for the playoffs. I know you're not, your Browns are your thing and that's really it, but I guess, you know, as an NFL fan, we could try to pick out the teams that we like and who we're rooting for and,
Yeah, sure.
So, So obviously, the teams that we're rooting against right off the bat are the Ravens, probably in your case the Patriots. I am going to say that I will be rooting against the Eagles, the Cowboys, and the Ravens. So I would like to see Chicago. I actually would like to see Chicago make a little run at it. That's a team city that hasn't won in a long time. So I wouldn't mind them getting advancing into the playoffs. Same thing with the Colts. I'd be kind of happy to see make a move and the Chargers as well. Obviously, I want to see as much of Mahomes as possible. That guy is awesome. I love watching him play. Would have loved to have drafted him, but at the same point, still happy with Baker. So if I was to pick teams right now that I think if I was to pick my potential AFC championship game matchup, I think you're probably looking at I'd go chalk here. I think it's going to be Chiefs and Patriots, that'll be an interesting game. We can talk about the winners next week and see where we are and how we're doing. But I really do think it's going to end up being a Chiefs Patriots, you know, barring any crazy injuries or anything, championship game. And on the NFC side, I think, you know, I think the Bears can actually make themselves a legitimate contender to the Super Bowl, depending on how things play out. So I would really hate to say Saints Bears, but I think that you probably could see that game. How about you? What do you got? What do you think going into the championship weeks? What do you think? Who do your final four? Let's say.
Oh boy. I don't even know if these are possible because I don't know how
it goes. Have to look at the seedings and stuff. Okay.
But so the championship games, right?
Yeah.
Well, I think on the NFC side, it's Saints Bears, if that's possible. I don't know.
I think it is because the Bears are the three, so they would play. The Saints are the one, so. Yeah, the Rams, if the Bears win, they'll play the Rams. If the and then you'd end up with the Saints and the Saints would, you know, the winner of the Saints and their game would play the winner of the Rams and the Bears. So if the Bears win, yes, they could play the Saints in the championship game. That's why I said.
Yeah, so I think that that Bears defense is gonna slap the
Eagles around,
and then show the Rams what's what, and then anything can happen in the championship game. And the Saints also have, I think, a much better defense than they had in the previous, like from 2010 to 2016 or whatever.
Yeah, I agree.
And it's not as good as their offense, but it's still a respectable defense, so anything can happen there. And on the AFC side, I really think that the Ravens are gonna play, if that's possible, the Patriots. Can that happen?
Yes, it can. The Colts and the Texans are the 3 and 6 seeds, and the Ravens and the Chargers are the 4 and 5. So as long as the Texans win, I'm not really sure. Yeah, it can happen. There's a chance that it can happen, yeah. So you think the Ravens are going to play the Patriots?
Yeah. Okay. Well, it's if I had to pick two teams,
if the Colts beat the Texans, the Patriots would play the winner of the Chargers in the Ravens game.
Okay. But then, yeah, okay. I mean, as much as I hate the Ravens, what's happening right now is it feels to me like they have their regular great defense. It's either them or the Bears with the best defense. It seems, I think even in DVOA they are 1 and 2, whatever. Plus, they have this fairly unusual offense. And unlike the Redskins of 2012, they got into their groove at the end of the season. So that's my prediction.
All right, so I hate to do this and cut short, but I got a little issue at the homestead, so I guess we can wrap this up and
see you next week.
Yeah, we'll catch you
with the problem.
We'll talk next week. All right, hopefully we'll be talking about our head coach.
Yeah.
All right.
See you.
Take care.
Hey, everybody. It's Neil Patel, editor-in-chief of The Verge. I host a podcast every week called The Vergecast with my friends Paul Miller and Dieter Bohn. We've got a rotating cast of characters from our entire site, which is about technology, how it impacts culture, and how that is all a big cycle that causes us to have a wide variety of feelings that you can listen to every Friday. We've done over 300 episodes in the 6 years since The Verge has been around, but you only need to listen to one, the latest one, to get caught up on everything in tech news. Vergecast is on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, everywhere else you listen to podcasts. Check it out.